All right, Crypt Nation fam, let's pause for 1 second and talk about an important issue going on right now, and that's SIM swap attacks. SIM swap attacks are becoming a serious threat, especially in crypto. If someone gets control of your phone number, they can access your bank accounts, your exchanges, emails, and even your private messages. That's why the Crypto 101 podcast is partnered with Afani. It's America's most secure mobile service, offering a guaranteed protection against SIM swaps with added privacy. Since launching, not one single Afani user has ever been SIM swapped. And for some reason, if it ever does happen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance against financial losses. This is literally why we chose to partner with them. It is our favorite thing about Afani is the insurance policy of up to $5 million if it does happen to you. Afani runs on either AT&T or the Verizon network, and you get to choose which one. There are no contracts, and it is super easy and seamless to sign up. You also get a 60-day money-back guarantee, so there's zero risk in trying it out. Right now, for our listeners, you get $99 off when you sign up at Afani.com/crypto101. That's Afani.com/crypto101, or check the show notes below for a link. These days, your phone number is probably more valuable than your social security number. So make sure it's protected with Afani.
Alright everyone, welcome back to the Crypto Rundown, where we talk about everything that's going on in the great world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. From the fundamentals in the news to the technicals on the charts, we spend the time doing hours of research so that you all don't have to, and then we package it up, we bring it to you completely for free, all in under an hour. Welcome back. It is September 16th, 2025, and it's good to have all of you here. There's a lot going on, there's a lot to talk about, and let me just say, it is a massive week for the crypto markets. It's FOMC week. We have a lot to talk about. We're looking at a 98% chance of the Fed cutting rates, which directly, at least historically speaking, has been a huge upwards catalyst for the crypto market. So there's a lot to unpack. It's right around the corner. And fundamental adoption is increasing to levels that we might not have ever seen before. And I know every week we come in here and we talk about all the stuff that's happening, but it just keeps on escalating in the best ways possible. I mean, just today, we're going to be talking about how Coinbase is expanding with maybe launching a token for the Base ecosystem. Google is collaborating with Coinbase for crypto payments. PayPal's getting in on the crypto payments. American Express is getting involved in all this. And of course, we have one of the biggest Ethereum applications, Polymarket, coming to the US. Now, there's a lot of other things happening. The crypto market is moving. Of course, we're going to take a look at the charts and all that good stuff. But before I get involved, I mean, TiVo, it's going to be an electric episode.
Yeah, it's full go here. September's in full swing. Football's in full swing. The Fed's in full swing. Credit to us. A couple weeks ago, we gave out that the Cowboys just don't have it. They never have it. Cowboys 0-2. We were right there. And then congratulations to you. An absolute butt-whipping and fantasy on me this week. We're just going to have to rebound. We're going to have to be better. I forgot to set my lineup, so that's on me, brother. But congratulations to you. And as we move in with the momentum of Fed Week, a lot to line up. I think that we've kind of covered it a little bit for the most part last week in our shows. Nothing super crazy has changed, so we're kind of all eyes are on Wednesday. But I think it could be a market-moving event. We definitely have some stuff we're going to touch on. Secretary Bessent had some comments. As much as nothing's changed over the weekend, the market certainly has expectations. And kind of like we've said, it feels like it's a clearing event. So I think once the decision's made, if it's on par with what everybody thinks, 25 bips, you're not going to see anything too crazy right off the jump, but it's always about that press conference, yeah. Man. He gets on the mic and hits you with a good afternoon, and it's just all all bets are off for the next 20 minutes as he speaks and takes questions. So we're going to cover all that and more. We actually, surprisingly, have a big episode today, so a lot to talk about still. We'll sprinkle a little Fed in there, but we'll definitely be back later in the week with a full update.
Yeah, I mean, before we get started, have you seen, and I guess we can say this to the audience, if you haven't seen the funny Fed memes where Jerome Powell comes up to the stand and then he says, good afternoon, and then there's these like edits of the market going crazy and giant candles and rocket ships and all these things, you're missing out. They're some of the funniest memes out there. So check them out if you haven't. Maybe we can find some and we'll repost some on our Twitter or something. But if you haven't seen them, you're missing out. But it's going to be a big week nonetheless. And I think you queued it up really well. So much to unpack. The crypto market's moving. A little bit red on the day here, mainly for the altcoin market. Bitcoin's down 0.25%, so barely in the red. Altcoins, though, are a little bit more red across the board. We're seeing red anywhere from around 2 to 3% for the average altcoin. Nothing too crazy, but we have seen a couple of days of bleeding since that rally that we got last week, kind of pushing us back towards the all-time highs on a lot of those large caps, which is something interesting and something that we'll unpack. So let's just kick things off with a little bit of technical analysis. We can see what's happening on the charts, and then we'll work our way into all the fundamental news as we normally do. So here's what I'm seeing for Bitcoin and Ethereum over here. Bitcoin, rallying back up towards the upside towards the later half of last week. We came down here, we broke some of the downwards trend, and we moved back above the 20, back above this key trend line, and then even above the 50-day moving average as well. So now what we're seeing is, again, a break in this downward structure that we had from the highs to the lower high, lower low, lower high, lower low, lower high, lower low. And we started to see a break as we are coming into this flat level of resistance and seeing higher lows into a flat level of resistance. So we are breaking out of this like an ascending triangle, which is a candle chart formation, a very bullish one. And we kind of have seen this reversal back to the upside on Bitcoin. So this has been a really good sign. And what we're looking at now is a little bit of bleed that's happening with Bitcoin, where we're back above the 50, we're holding above the 50, but we're kind of just bleeding to the downside just a tad. So what I'm looking for this week is what I call the slip, dip, and a rip, or even like a classic break, hook, and go. This is where we move up and we hook back down into the prior resistance levels, and then we continue to the upside. Some people like to call this the slip, dip, and a rip, where we broke out and then we slip, we dip, and then we continue into the rip. And that's kind of the way that I'm looking at this week for the crypto market, is I think with the FOMC meeting happening and the talk of interest rate cuts tomorrow being a high probability, I think we can get some choppy price action here. You know, a little bit of volatility that could come in here. And I wouldn't be surprised if we have one of those slip, dips, and rips, where we have a sudden slip in price, we see it dip down, and then that acts as a buying opportunity off of the dip to probably propel us further. It's kind of the way that I see this playing out. So we're holding the 50 so far on Bitcoin, which is a really great sign. But I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, for a short period of time, we kind of dip down a little bit deeper. Maybe we come back to 112, 113, see a retest of those levels. And then, depending on how we react, I think the markets can continue higher. Now, Bitcoin so far has been holding up better than a lot of the other altcoins. You look at Ethereum, and I guess you could say, you know, a lot of these altcoins rallied harder than Bitcoin, but now they're losing more as well. So just volatility both ways is something that is happening. But if you look at Ethereum, I mean, this thing was pressing back into the highs over here. It hit almost $4,800, kind of tapped this all-time high area, and now it's been bleeding out ever since Saturday hit, and we've seen it kind of coming back into these levels. So that's going to be another thing to kind of pay attention to over here is, hey, as we're coming back down, let's keep an eye on this previous resistance zone. We know that it barcoded with around 4,400, 4,500 being the ceiling of this for a long time. As we're coming back into this previous consolidation, I'd like to see this be used as support so that Bitcoin can continue to the upside after something like that. So I'd be looking for that over here on Ethereum. And, you know, generally speaking, the last thing I'll say before I pass it off is just that a lot of these large cap altcoins are seeing pressure build into the highs, right? I think that's the best way to put it. You see, for the most part, Bitcoin, we zoom out over here, pressure coming from the downside. And again, we're pushing up towards the highs. You're seeing this over here on Ethereum. Again, pressure for the most part into the highs. Solana, for the most part, you know, of recent months, ever since the pivot, pressure into these highs. You can see it with BNB at all-time highs. You could see it with Tron, which is somewhere down here, again, pushing into these highs. So a lot of these large caps are leading the way. They're the ones applying pressure to the upside, but the large caps are typically the market leaders. So this is kind of what you want to see. And in every single market cycle, you typically have large caps leading the way. And it's this funnel effect where the market cycle starts with Bitcoin, then large caps, then mid caps, small caps, so on and so forth. And we're at the stage of the market right now, if we look at the BTC dominance chart, where, you know, we've come down a lot, but we're not as far as we have normally fallen. And that just means that there could be more time in the cycle and there could be room for those mid and small caps to catch up and play out. But we might not be at that stage of the cycle yet, but I do think that it's still coming. So again, just a lot of attention over here on the large caps, lots of positive price action. We see them squeezing back into the highs, and for the most part, that's a good thing.
All right, Crypto 101 fam, after a long day of podcasting and trading these markets, you know I need a good night's sleep. And comfort is personal. For me, it's a mattress that's soft enough to sink into at the end of a long day, but supportive enough to keep my back happy in the morning. That's exactly what I get with the Avocado Green Mattress Eco Organic Mattress. It's their most affordable certified organic mattress without compromise. Medium firm with a plush organic latex and up to 1,000 steel coils that reduce motion transfer and keep your spine aligned. Every night I get world-class back support that feels just as good getting in as it does getting out, which we all know as we get older, getting out of bed sometimes is the hardest part of the day if you don't get a good night's sleep and your back hurts. And guys, here's the kicker. Avocado owns their own springs, wool, and latex supplies, so they cut out the middleman and pass on the savings to you. You get premium certified organic quality without the premium price tag. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com and save up to 20% on Avocado's certified organic mattress. That's avocadogreenmattress.com for 20% off. Avocado, dream of better. Have you ever wanted to trade Bitcoin but haven't dared tried? With Plus 500 Futures, you can trade crypto without the hassle of opening a wallet. With just a few clicks, you can register and start practicing with their free and unlimited demo. See a trading opportunity? You'll be able to trade in just two clicks. Feel ready? You can move to real money with as little as $100 once your account is approved. And the great thing is that in addition to crypto, Plus 500 gives you access to a wide range of instruments like the S&P 500, NASDAQ, gas, and much more. Explore equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and beyond. With a simple and intuitive platform, you can trade anytime, anywhere. Experience the fast, accessible futures trading you've been waiting for with Plus 500. With over 20 years of experience, Plus 500 is your gateway to the markets. Visit us.plus500.com to learn more. Trading in futures involves risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify, and this is not personal financial advice. Plus 500, it's trading with a plus. If you have been considering futures trading, now might be the time to take a closer look. The futures market has seen increased activity recently, and Plus 500 Futures offers a straightforward entry point. The platform provides access to major instruments, including the S&P 500, NASDAQ, Bitcoin, natural gas, and other key markets across equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and crypto. Their interface is designed for accessibility. You can monitor and execute trades from your phone with a $100 minimum deposit. Once your account is open, potential trades can be executed in two clicks. For those who prefer to practice first, Plus 500 offers an unlimited demo account with full charting and analytical tools. No risk involved while you familiarize yourself with the platform. The company has been operating in the trading space for over 20 years. Download the Plus 500 app today. Trading in futures involves a risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And kind of like we said at the jump of the show, feels like this rate decision is a clearing event, right? So the market's waiting. The market's already pricing in. So Scott Bessin came out and said, hey, the market is already pricing in 75 bips by the end of the year. So how can you get to that number? There's, you know, are you going to do 25 bips over three meetings? Are you going to do 50 now and then a hold? Are you going to do 25 now and then maybe a 50 at some point? Again, that's stuff that you can't really forecast specifically, you know, event or meeting to meeting. But that's why this is such kind of a big event, because not only are you going to get the number, the rate, so everybody's basically saying it's going to be 25 bips, but that's why I said it's so important to kind of listen to that press conference. And you get a lot from when he, you know, makes a statement and then answers questions. You know, I think Jerome tries his best to communicate. You can definitely disagree with the decisions or overall how the Fed's operated, but I think he does try his best to communicate at where, you know, the Fed governors are sitting and kind of give you the whole picture. So I do give him credit in that sense. Again, you could kind of disagree with the direction of where it's going, but he does communicate really well.
Yeah, he does. And quick little reminder here. I know we got a lot of other things to talk about. If you're coming in from Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Audible or anywhere else, and you're wondering what we're talking about, on the screen here over on YouTube, we're going to have the charts, the articles, the data, all these different things on screen on our YouTube channel. So if you want to see all of that, head over to the Crypto 101 podcast on YouTube. Check us out over there, and that's where we're going to have all of the visuals for what we're talking about.
Just to build off that, Brendan, actually, yeah. We have a special link for everybody. If you go down in the description, the first link I put for everybody, you're doing a one-hour technical analysis session this Thursday. So 1 hour, basically, if you enjoyed that technical analysis piece that Brendan does at the top of every episode, even though we only do it for maybe 5-10 minutes tops, this Thursday, if you're interested, for free, Brendan is doing a one-hour session this Thursday. Again, link below, 1 hour technical analysis. Questions you can, you know, type in, Brendan will communicate and chat with everybody. And it's a really fun session. So if you're interested in checking that out, free this Thursday, link below there, check it out. But Brendan, any thoughts on this 75 bips, or, you know, you're kind of, again, we're waiting for the clearing event before we move on from Fed talk.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what he says. I would be in line with this, right? I've seen people talk about maybe even up to 100. Maybe we get 150 basis point cut, and then we get, I don't know. Well, actually, I don't know. I don't know how I would divide it. I said that. I'm going to take it back. I think we could go up to 100 basis points. Maybe that's 150 basis point and 125 basis point. Maybe it's divided up into 325s. Regardless, I think this is accurate. I think a 75 basis point rate cut by the end of the year is the likely scenario. And I think what we likely see is probably three sets of 25 as the most likely scenario. But as of right now, we're sitting at a 98% chance of a rate cut. I think it's a 92% chance of a 25 basis point cut, and I think a 6% chance of a 50 basis point cut. But I think that is the likely scenario for the end of the year. And I'll tell you what, I think that three sets of 25 is probably best for the crypto markets because it gives people something to look forward to. And we always say, you know, crypto performs well during periods of rate cuts. I think rather than having it all come in at once in a single meeting and having nothing to look forward to after, it's better to kind of spread it out and say, okay, hey, we still have another one to look forward to. We have another one to look forward to. And I think that it's pretty common knowledge that once Jerome Powell gets out of the Fed, it's pretty likely we're going to see more rate cuts after that. So the more that we can shrink the gap in between the end of Jerome Powell's rate cuts and then, you know, the next Fed chairman who's going to be in there, I think it gives people more hopium to look forward to because they can constantly be looking forward to the next rate cut and being fed. And maybe hopium is not the right word, but you know what I mean here. You know, it gives people something to look forward to. It gives them a catalyst to kind of look at. And having that being dispersed over a period of time instead of all at once is probably the best way to go about it.
Couldn't agree more. To build on that point, then we're going to move forward. This definitely is an art. It's not a science. While there is all this data involved to it, and there's a lot of arguments on either side of what to do, and you have this governor's board where everybody has their opinion, it truly is an art. And I couldn't agree with you more. I think that gradual, you know, let's cut, but let 25-25, because if you do that process of 25-25 and he has a strong thesis on why we're cutting and a strong voice on the economy being strong. Remember, we just had that jobs revision. So if you're doing the dual mandate of jobs and inflation, jobs is outpacing the worry right now. So he can talk about that, but he needs to keep a straight focus on kind of that discussion of why he's doing it. And the problem could be, as much as, you know, maybe there's somebody out there that thinks like, no, we want 50 right away, cut the 50 bips. If you cut 50 and his verbiage is a little shaky on not feeling that confident, the market could totally roll out of bed. Because you got to remember, I mean, Bitcoin's up there. You just went through all those altcoins that are approaching all-time highs. We have the NASDAQ, the S&P's like at all-time highs. So we're kind of priced to perfection. And even though there's this 50 bips and everybody's excited for cutting rates and they think it's a green light for the markets, which it can be, if he's not confident and doesn't voice confidence in the economy, this we could roll out of bed here, even on a 50 bips, if there's not confidence. So again, it's a clearing event either way. And it's exciting. We're going to be here to break it down, but go ahead.
I was just going to say, for everyone that is curious, because again, this will impact the crypto market in one way or another. That is going to be happening tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern time, which is when we're going to get the numbers. And then around 30 to minutes to an hour after, we're going to have Jerome Powell come out and actually talk about what they're thinking and walk us through their decision. So we get the numbers tomorrow, which is Wednesday at 2 p.m. And stay tuned for that.
Yeah, we might stream it live. I know if Brian's free. I know you're busy, but if Brian's free, we might pop on. But then obviously me and you will be back Friday to unpack everything that happened as well. So stay tuned. I post in the community if you're interested. Maybe tomorrow we might do a live stream. So keep a lookout for that. Speaking of things that affect the crypto markets, we didn't even put this on the sheet. I know I tweeted it and you saw it, but there's some movement here on the Bitcoin strategic reserve. So this was without a ton of specifics. There's reports coming out that Michael Saylor and multiple crypto executives are going to meet U.S. lawmakers today to help advance the strategic Bitcoin reserve bill. So again, this week we have rate cuts coming. We have the Bitcoin strategic reserve bill. I mean, all this is complete hopium. I mean, turning on the gas mask of hopium and just sucking it down. We've talked about this on the show of how we, you know, if they ever do announce a meaningful buy, and I know they're trying to do it in the budget neutral way, but I don't know. That feels like rocket fuel.
Yeah. I mean, it does. And I think there's a chance that we get something. I know people are never going to be satisfied completely, but I think there's a chance that we get something, right? We hold all these different currencies and we hold all this gold and other stuff. I think it just makes sense that we make some kind of a plan. Again, my whole argument here is it's hard to say that you're going to be the crypto capital of the world and that you want to inspire innovation, all this stuff. I think actions speak louder than words. And how do you prove it? Well, you prove it with some sort of accumulation. You can't say that it's going to be this next big thing and that you want to be the crypto capital of the world and then not do anything to like maybe accumulate or get your hands on more or inspire growth. And so I think there needs to be more than just an easing of the regulatory environment. I think some sort of proof of accumulation shows that you're putting your money where your mouth is. And it doesn't have to be anything crazy, but just something that people just want something. And that's what we're looking for.
Yeah. And then there's just more bullish stuff on the timeline. And before we get to that, good morning to everybody in the chat. Very active chat for a Tuesday morning. One Vision Transition, he's back. Rob's here. East Coast Lobster, way down under the sea. Noah Blue, Grant's here. And then Apex Trading saying that my hopium is copium. I don't know. Is Apex Trading bearish? Let us know, Apex Trading. What are you thinking? And then we have Robert as well. So good morning to everybody. We really appreciate it. Anybody else that's out there, throw your name in the chat. Let us know where you're from. And if you could, give us a like. It really helps the channel get pushed and grow. So toss us a like if you could. We really appreciate it. But as mentioned, more bullish news. Sheesh. Let me tell you, Tom Lee just keeps buying Ethereum. Here's the dates of their Ethereum holding going back from July all the way through September here, September 14th. That's about a 10 and a half. I mean, that's a 20X. I mean, that's unbelievable. They just keep compiling. I know we talk about a lot on the show with BitMine, but there's also SharpLink. Tom had a news bit yesterday where he was, I mean, I'll let you hear it for himself, yeah. But again, just absolutely pumping both Bitcoin and crypto. And, you know, you can see they're on the thing, financials and small caps. Let's listen to Tom.
I think they could make a monster move in the next 3 months, like huge.
If we were to say Ethereum, Bitcoin, we try to bucket them into risk-averse assets or risk-on type assets.
Yeah.
Is it fair to look at them that way? We used to compare them correlation-wise to the NASDAQ 100. Is that the fair assessment for how these things trade in the coming months?
Yes. Bitcoin is particularly monetary policy liquidity sensitive. Ethereum has elements of being sensitive to liquidity, but it's also part of this AI moving onto the blockchain and Wall Street moving onto the blockchain and that whole stablecoin ChatGPT moment for crypto. So Ethereum, I think, trades almost like 1971 Wall Street, which was the dollar went off the gold standard, a lot of innovation. Ethereum essentially is a growth protocol. And that's why BitMine is so aggressively acquiring Ethereum.
And as I showed you before, they are quite aggressively acquiring Ethereum. And again, that's just he's on national television multiple times a week telling this theory. And I think the one thing you can appreciate, if you don't like all the Tom Lee content you're getting on here, then at least you got to appreciate that he's saying it and he's doing it.
Yeah.
And we talk all the time about how these big, old guards, the JP Morgans, Goldman Sachs, they tell you, no, blockchain, crypto's bad, crypto's for criminals, Bitcoin's a pet rock. But meanwhile, they're building and they're trying to get involved. And so what I do appreciate about, some of the thought leaders in our space is as much as they talk about being bullish, the Michael Saylors, the Tom Lees, they're buying and they're building. And so, I don't know if you have any thought to wrap up the topic here on Tom Lee, continuously just engulfing Ethereum, but at least they're putting their money where their mouth is.
Yeah, they are. And I don't have too much to add to that, but, clearly it's a good thing. We're seeing treasury companies continue to come up. There's a lot of them out there, but I think Bitmine and Tom Lee are probably one of the most aggressive ones alongside probably Michael Saylor and Strategy for Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. I kind of see them as the strategy of Ethereum.
Couldn't agree more. And, there's buyers and there's builders, and a huge builder is Coinbase.
Yeah.
And specifically Coinbase has a protocol called Base. We've had Jesse Pollock on the program before, who is the lead engineer for Base. And we've always wondered, and we've talked on the show, this Base is taking off. Is there going to be a coin? And at the time when we had Jesse on, maybe it's time to get him back on. I'll put that on my to-do list to reach out. But there wasn't a coin associated with Base. And so you try to find that, the alpha around that protocol. And we've had Aerodrome on the podcast before, which was kind of a thought process of ours for one of the leading DEXs of Base is Aerodrome. So we've had them on the podcast, so you could learn that. But the breaking news this week coming from Base via Brian Armstrong and Jesse is that they're looking into maybe building a token here, which and I'm going to tee this up for you, Brendan, and let you break it down. But if they do launch a Base token, is it fair to say that this would be, quote unquote, the official altcoin of Coinbase?
I think it would be fair for that because it's a unique situation. Up until this point, Coinbase and Brian Armstrong have said we have no plans to develop a token at all. Not for Base, not for anything. We have no plans of a token. And then that shifted yesterday when we got this news of them announcing, both Coinbase, Base, and Brian Armstrong, all of them basically saying, we're looking into exploring a token for the Base network. And it doesn't come as too big of a surprise to me. I know that they kept saying, oh, we're not looking at this, we're not thinking about it. Well, clearly they are now, and I think that came with the gigantic success that Base has seen. I mean, I would say it is the most successful layer 2 on Ethereum. I know you can measure it by different metrics. Some people like to look at activity. Some people like to look at TVL and all these other things. I would say Base is the most successful layer 2 on Ethereum, and it's also probably the most popular one. And when we're looking at it, it's hard to have that level of success and not start thinking about a token. So I think they're looking at it. They understand that they can capitalize on that. They can probably make more money from having a Base token. Maybe they're getting more fees or whatever it is. And I think it's the smart move. Now, up until this point, everyone looked at Aerodrome, which was the number one application on Base, the number one decentralized exchange, number one in TVL. On Base, and they said this is the go-to way to get exposure to the Base ecosystem. That is Aerodrome. This changes that a little bit because now people are going to have a Base token that they can get exposure to. So we're not sure yet. We don't have full information out about this, about exactly how this token's going to work. Is it going to work similar to Maker, where they have a token and a stablecoin? Is it just going to be a normal crypto? Is it just going to be a normal stablecoin? We need to get clarification on a lot of those details, but it does throw a wrench into the whole process in a really good way, right? So there's a lot of positive things that are happening and going on here. But I mean, you have arguably the biggest exchange in the world, publicly traded on the New York Stock Exchange, and they're coming out with a token for their layer 2, which is, in my opinion, the number one layer 2 on Ethereum. It's a really big deal. I can tell you what, I'm going to be watching this. I'm going to be paying attention to this. I like having exposure to the Base ecosystem. I think Coinbase is going to be successful. I think the Base Layer 2 is going to be successful. And as we'll see with some of these other articles, like, there's a lot that's being built on Base.
Yeah, and then Coinbase, we were talking about it, how I got access, but it was like a limited access to that. I don't even know what to call it, via Coinbase. They basically integrated
Aerodrome.
Aerodrome Base Dex into just normal Coinbase. It was a very small rollout. I don't think everybody had it, but because I was asking you guys and Brian, and it seemed like it was a limited rollout. But I think that's part of the thought process, right? Is like, you know, obviously they're leveraging Aerodrome. They have a great relationship with them, but, you know, kind of that test rollout was like, hey, you know, everybody just feels comfortable with Coinbase.com. Can we somehow leverage our own token or tokenomics to give people access to this entire, you know, altcoin sphere, just to do more trading, to then get more fees, to then make more money, right? It's like, I think maybe, I don't know, I don't want to say they underestimated themselves with Base, but like, just like you said, it's the usage is through the roof. So you kind of got to step back and reassess the success of your project and see again how you can leverage it as, you know, one of the leaders in the space. And as a publicly traded company, the goal is to become bigger, become more profitable, but also deliver more to the users.
Absolutely, man. And it's interesting because Coinbase is going to be a big talking point of the next couple articles that we're going to talk about here. But what we've seen in recent weeks, and I would even push it out longer than that, you know, recent years, recent months, crypto has been really shining through, especially as centralized banking has started to fail and frustrate people in different ways. And Brian Armstrong was talking about this as well. It's a really interesting tweet that I saw from just a couple of hours ago, earlier this morning. And he said the interest rate for most checking accounts is 0% in Canada. And that makes zero sense. So from today, all Canadians can now earn 4.1% uncapped rewards on USDC on Coinbase and up to 4.5% with Coinbase One. And to me, number one, he's right. The point makes sense. 0% is a ridiculous, it doesn't make any sense in today's financial world. Why you get 0% on a checking account? I know they're generally pretty low and they say, oh, I'll put it in a money market or on a savings account or something else. Still, 0% is crazy. And to me, this looks like he's taking one out of Robin Hood's playbook, because this is usually the kind of rhetoric an approach that Robinhood takes, is they say, oh, traditional banking, traditional this and that, it doesn't make sense. Come to us, we'll give you 4%. Oh, by the way, it's available in Canada and it's uncapped now. And I like the play. I like it. I think this is how you take market share away, is you target the pain points that don't make sense and that shouldn't exist anymore. And you cater to these people and you kind of meet them in the middle and you say, this doesn't make sense. It should have changed. They're not treating you right. Come over here and you can have a much better job. And then on top of this, clearly they've been integrating, and we're about to get into this more, but they've been talking about the Coinbase card and some of these extra services. And now they've been partnering up with all these other providers to say, you don't need them as much as you think you did. You don't need them as much as you used to. And so what we can see is that, like, PayPal and all these different providers are getting into the space. And we've already seen the Coinbase card come out. But interesting enough, like, even Google, we can probably throw this on the screen, even Google has started collaborating with Coinbase to add crypto payments to its new AI payments protocol. And this is a pretty big deal as well. And, I mean, Tiva, I don't know if you had a chance to see this, but I mean, Google's now, I think, what was it, the third company to reach a $3 trillion valuation?
Yep.
I mean, obviously, Google needs no introduction. They're a household name. But even they're looking at crypto here, and they're saying, hey, who can we collaborate to do this the right way? Because us, as one of the largest, most significant companies in the world, we want to add crypto payments to their new AI payments protocol. And they're saying, hey, Coinbase is probably the best person to do that. So it kind of fits together here with the narrative that we were just talking about.
Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Yeah, we had a topic on a couple weeks ago where we were, you know, the old guards were trying to block some stablecoin legislation because, you know, these stablecoin, the quick rails and the movement of money is what kind of gives that APR percentage, right? You're moving money more freely. There's less kind of rails behind it. And they're offering some of the, you know, profits back to the user, which again, you know, kind of what Brian Armstrong was saying with banks in Canada and banks, you know, the banks in Canada, 0% is wild. But the banks in the U.S., a lot of them aren't much better. If you just have a standard savings or checking account, you know, you're not getting, I don't even know if it's 1% some of these banks. Sometimes it's under that. And then again, like you're trying to use your money. I was trying to do a, you know, a wire transfer for like a down payment on a property. And it's a local bank that I grew up with, and you know, I have all this money in there and I'm trying to move it. I put it in there. I transferred everything in there out of my, you know, the Robinhoods and the Coinbases where I'm collecting these 4 to 4.5%, and I move it into this bank. I'm like, hey, I want to get this moved to this, you know, place. And they're like, oh, well, the wire transfer takes, you know, 3 days and you got to come and be in person. And, you know, you got to sign these papers to move that amount of money. It's like, it was this whole process for this local bank. And I'm like, I don't even live there anymore. Like, what are you talking about? I got to fly to Philadelphia to do this. Are you crazy? Like, it's so archaic. And then on top of that, you're making all this money off of people's, you know, savings and stuff, and you're not giving back. I went on this rant weeks ago. So this is the future. This is where it's going. And luckily, you know, again, with this administration, the legislation is slowly and surely getting pushed through. But again, we've said this multiple times, but if these old guards aren't building, if they're not getting ready, like there's a true takeover that could happen here with, you know, Coinbase looking and thinking like this, just thinking like this is correct. And then obviously Robinhood has one of the highest APRs for their money market funds, and they're going to be rolling out the private banking, it seems, end of this year, maybe early next. So then, you know, you'll get to learn what their offerings are on the banking side. And there's going to be a number of other companies, and there's already tons of options where to get these, you know, higher APRs. So it's something that we're going to track, and it's kind of really fun to talk about because, again, everybody's always looking for the where's the 10x, where's the 20x. But if it's all about kind of that educational process of being smart with your money. And again, we always say plan your trades and trade your plans, but financially plan your life and start learning how to operate and build wealth. And some of the most smartest things of building wealth is where to hold, you know, your stash, your cash. You can't be 100% risk on all the time. Sometimes you got to raise cash and put it places. And I think that's a huge part to, you know, if you can start putting cash places and slowly accrue $20, $50, $100 a month for it just sitting there, you know, that's something that can, I think, be a stepping stool. It's not going to change your life overnight or in a year, but it's a stepping stool to accruing and building wealth.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, let's pull up the rest of these articles because we have PayPal and American Express getting in on this action. We'll want to talk about both of those. But yeah, I mean, here it is on the screen for everyone. Just in, financial giant PayPal to integrate Bitcoin and crypto into their P2P, which stands for peer-to-peer payment flow. big deal. I mean, all the big payment providers, they want to get in on this. Clearly, crypto's growing. The attention is just nowhere close to being done. I mean, we're much closer to the beginning than we are to the end, or the end goal and mission of this stuff, because they're all saying, hey, we're announcing, we're going to be working on this. They're not saying it's like launched and finished and that it's, you know, at the end of its lifetime. I mean, they're all in the prepping, get ready, launching phases of this. And so there's a lot of exciting stuff that's happening here. And then if we go over to the next one, TiVo, yeah, he's already got it on the screen. American Express launches blockchain-based passport stamps built on Base, the layer two that Coinbase built and the one that we were talking about just a few minutes ago. And then this is going to be allowing cardholders to digitally collect and share important travel memories as customizable NFT stamps, which is an interesting idea. Honestly, not something I probably had on the playbooks, but still something that's kind of cool. So American Express here, who's been, again, increasingly dipping their feet like more and more into the world of crypto and blockchain, now they're launching this. I think this is kind of a cool feature, this idea that you can launch these blockchain-based passport stamps. It's all going to be built on Base. And so these cardholders can kind of collect and share these travel things. And this is something that I started doing recently with my friends, is we have this app on our phone, and I forget what it's called, but it basically you can like add people on this app, you can have friends, and it's a giant map of the world, and you like fill in all the countries that you've been to. And so it says, oh, they've been to this many countries, this many continents all over the world. And you can kind of compare it with your friends and show off like, oh, I've been here and here and here. And it's just like a cool little thing where people get to share what they have done and what they're doing. And this kind of just reminds me of that. Like you get like a little collectible, you get like a little stamp saying, oh, I went here and I did this. And it's a memorable piece for maybe yourself or people that you're close with. So I'm on board with it.
Yeah. I mean, and again, this is where the future is. The future is going on chain. And this sounds like a fun interactive thing, but you know, I think we both see a future where our passports, the legal ones, everything's on chain. Yeah. The human verification, right? It's that Ethereum story of, you know, when everything's AI and robots, how are we going to verify, you know, what's a human? And so on chain is where passports, IDs, titles to houses and cars and, you know, insurances and ID card. I think that's where the puck is going. And again, as fun as this is and interactive, I think it's just the tip of the iceberg. But it's all based on positive regulation forward. Again, this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And as we've seen this just the regulation of the first 6 to 7 to 8 months of this administration has been really great specifically for the crypto space. And kind of to the opposite of that, just a reminder of what, you know, we used to deal with. There was this news flow coming out last week of how, you know, when there's a transition period for, you know, politics. And so when it was known that, you know, Trump was coming in, and there's that classic clip we loved on day one, I'm going to fire Gary Gensler. So the SEC knew that they were on their way out. And there was many calls from executives like Coinbase. So Paul here is the chief legal officer from Coinbase. So you got to remember, when all these companies were basically getting, you know, the cold shoulder from legislation, and not only the cold shoulder, a lot of people were getting debanked, right? A lot of businesses that were in the crypto space were getting debanked. I know Gemini had a story of that. I know, you know, not to get too personal, but we know people that were dealing with that. And so there was a lot of calls as this was known that there was going to be a new SEC regime to hold all the documents. Don't delete anything. Don't burn anything. Like, we need to understand why this was so hard for us to get the conversation going, not just legislation passed. It seemed like it was anti-legislation. The Liz Warrens of the world, the war against crypto was moving so fast paced that there wasn't even a conversation. It was just kind of a war against them. So there were a lot of calls for people to say, hey, you know that you're going out of office. Don't do anything. Go, just leave the office, leave the door unlocked, leave the computer on, don't trash it, don't burn it. Now there seems to be that there are a lot of documents that they were required to preserve and produce that, you know, Gary Gensler might have been in a violation of the public trust, that, you know, maybe there's some missing documents or deleted documents. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see if there can be an inspection on this to see what happened. But I think it's interesting, and it's always good to, you know, we're moving forward at such a fast pace, but let's not forget where we were
a year ago,
literally less than a year ago. And we have so much momentum, but don't forget, you know, how we used to be kind of on the other side of the coin.
Yeah, I mean, people forget fast. I mean, we're coming off of a crazy bearish SEC. All sorts of shenanigans that were happening. I know we had that funny video. Maybe we still have it. On day one, I will fire Gary Gensler. And we played that. We played that video way too many times. But it goes back and it shows, like, there was just crazy stuff happening here. And I don't want to rant about too much. You know, I don't want to get into politics and stuff. But, I mean, clearly, there was stuff happening behind the scenes that just should have been absolutely wrong and illegal. And it was negative for crypto as a whole. And I think all of us that are here, we want to see crypto succeed. We want to see crypto do well and grow. And there was interesting stuff that was happening that didn't allow it to do that. And all of that's gone now. So crypto's in a much better spot. I think we have a much brighter future. I see people saying, oh, crypto's, you know, topped out. It's done for. I don't think so, personally. I think that there's a lot going on here beyond all the fundamentals. Even if you look at the charts, like, I don't think we look all that bad. So maybe we have some dips and stuff here and there, but I don't know. Kind of like what Tom Lee said, I think it's hard to make an argument that the last 3 months of this year, again, September, historically, the last 10 days of September, I believe, are the worst 10 days in the entire market, in the entire year. So we're entering into this stretch where it's like, okay, if there's any time to be bearish, it's historically the last 10 days of September. But outside of that, you start coming into October, November, December, which are three of the most bullish months and oftentimes the most bullish period in crypto. So we're exiting from the most bearish to the most bullish. And there's a little bit of a transition period that happens there. But I have to stay optimistic as we're, again, kind of going through this bearish section of what usually is the market. And I think we're going to come out okay.
Yeah, no, couldn't agree more. We move forward. And that's, again, why we're here. We love what we do. We love the topic, so we get a little passionate about it. But the movement is forward. And we have one last topic. It's a super fun one. Before we jump into that, the chat just super active today, man. Patrick from Oregon. Kerr from Denmark, across the pond. Unbelievable, Kerr. Thank you for being here. Jeff from the Redlands. Ryan Boylan's here. What a legend. And then Albert the Great is getting in the chat. Thank you guys all for being here. If everybody could, just one last time, thumbs up. It really helps us grow the channels. Hit the thumbs up. Bottom right, if you're not, hit our logo and subscribe. We really appreciate it. And if you have any comments, if you're still here, sorry, if you have any questions, drop them in the comments. We'll answer a couple questions here after our last topic, if there are any, because we appreciate you guys being here. But last topic of the day, Polymarket. We've talked about this on the show a couple times, especially with Brian. He's our big betting markets bull. Obviously, Kalshi's in the U.S., and Polymarket just got cleared to come to the U.S. I think this is one of the most fascinating things, and it is partly crypto-specific, right?
Yeah.
But just overall, I think this is a generational change to how we interact with the world's news, really. I really, really think so. We've seen such a huge change over the last decade with, you know, our normal news packages of 3, 6, and 10 of where do you get your news, where do you watch it, versus when social media has now completely changed the game of how you consume what's going on in the world. And this is the next step to that as well. And there's a lot of stuff on there that are crypto specific. There's a lot of stuff on there that are finance specific, like rate cuts. There's a lot of ways that you can use it to your advantage for gathering information, making decisions, and possibly, you know, even hedging. Not personal financial advice at all, but there's a lot of ways that you could possibly use this as a tool. So what are you looking at, Brendan? What are you the most excited about for prediction markets, specifically just in general, but also crypto specific?
Yeah, I mean, this one's interesting. Polymarket's built on Ethereum. It uses the Polygon layer 2. And it's fascinating. I mean, I think it's arguably one of the most successful applications ever built on crypto, and it shows what it's capable of. It's this peer-to-peer betting market where instead of betting against the house, you're betting against other people, and that's all that it is. So it tends to get the best odds for what is going to happen and what's likely to happen, and it's coming to the U.S. So again, this is a blockchain, very successful, very popular blockchain and crypto-based piece of tech that is coming to the U.S. because of regulatory hurdles that are being torn down. And I think it just opens up a bright future for all of crypto. I know we're all excited about this over here. The idea of having a betting market like this is...
Yeah, and I think it's something that we've talked about with the team. If it's something like we should start to maybe make some content around, number one, because it's fun, it's engaging. But you know, I think there is a side to it where, again, I think it's a tool in the toolbox for kind of getting the bigger picture of what's going on. So it's something that we are going to stay apprised to, keep bringing you. And yeah, we might even test out some content. So I'll let you know when that's happening. And if you're interested in joining and checking it out, we always love literally having everybody in our community join us. It's so fun. Again, active chat. Let's see. We got a question from Albert the Great to close out the show. What are the fundamentals of the rate cuts tomorrow that traders should be aware of? Any insights? Okay, so the fundamentals of the rate cut, I think we covered at the top of the show. If you came in, we can give you a quick summary. But I think it's a clearing event. So I do think that it kind of sets the table for the next phase of where these markets are going, but it's purely based on, it's not necessarily an up or a down. I think it's purely based on what he says in the press conference. So again, yeah. I think Brendan and I said at the top of the show, we're looking for 25. We want 25 bips and we want a confident Jerome Powell in the press conference. If he gives us 25 bips and then he gives us the confidence that, hey, we know we saw the jobs numbers. That's why we're going to begin this easing cycle again. We're doing cuts, but again, we're still going to read the data. We're confident of where we are, but we are in the cutting cycle, I think, is the best case for the scenario. Again, 50 bips scares people, and just anything in the sense of whether it's zero cuts or 25 bips or 50 bips, if Jerome Powell comes and gives a spooky press conference and doesn't seem to have a lot of confidence where he's going, the market will freak out because we're across the board at or near all-time highs.
Yeah, that's what I've tried to tell people, is that it's really the decision itself is pretty locked in. We know we're getting a rate cut. That is important, but we already know. The part that I think is really going to be essential moving forward, like the important part moving forward, is what is going to be said after the decision's made. That's where I think 90% of the attention needs to be directed towards, and that's what we're going to be watching.
So. Couldn't agree more. What a morning. What a live. Over 400 of you have joined. The chat box was super active. Again, please, last call for a like. We had over 400 people in here. Let's get it to 100 likes. Jam that like button. Subscribe if you haven't. And again, Thursday, first link, check it below. Thursday, Brendan's doing his 1 hour live trading session. I know I'm going to be there. If you're interested in technical analysis, and literally the perfect time to do it, the day after the Fed rate cut. So it's going to be, there's going to be a lot of action. We're going to have that clearing event. We're going to know what's going on. So if you want to spend 1 hour with Brendan specifically doing TA, check that link below. Brendan, any final thoughts, and then take us home?
I saw a couple people were asking, how can they get in contact with us? If they have questions for you directly or for the team, is there a way that people can contact us, TiVo?
Yeah. If you just want to talk about the episodes, feel free to, you know, jump in the comments there and comment on the episode. I'm our YouTube manager, so I'm always answering the comments and the questions. If you wanted more access to the team, so if you want more access to Brendan, check out that link below for his 1 hour live stream. But if you want more access to Bryce, Rohit, Brian, you know, Joe, and our whole entire team, I think that next step is joining our community. I do have a $1, again, in the description, go down there. There is a $1 trial, so you can get that weekly newsletter. And basically, you're just getting more early access to us, our community, and the things that we're thinking about and talking about. That newsletter goes out on Monday. It's the earliest way to get our thoughts. And then again, all the other kind of tutorials and our model portfolio, and you're just kind of getting the inner thoughts of the team as a whole. That's kind of our private community that we know and love so much. And then, you know, if you're not ready for that, you can kind of stick with us here on YouTube. And, you know, obviously we put out tons of content as well, but we just, we love crypto, and this is what we do 24/7, 365. And that, you know, it's a testament to not just Brendan and I doing it, but our whole entire team of Bryce and Rohit and Joe and Brian.
you know, this is Crypt Nation, right? Crypto 101 and, yep. and the entire team.
Absolutely. So lots of ways to get in contact with us. Of course, follow us on X, follow us on Instagram, follow us on all of our other sources and social media channels. And we look forward to keeping you all up to date on what's happening in the great world of crypto. So hopefully I'm going to see a lot of you this Thursday on that live trading session. But to everyone else, thank you all for joining in. Thank you for watching.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.